Just say diapers 40 times.
Diapers, 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 diapers.
Highest ratings yet, right there. Just diapers. Welcome to Love in Brief, a brief ABDL advice podcast focused on issues of
love.
Yeah, love. That's love for yourself, love for others, love for your community. And one thing I love is having the chance to jump on this podcast and do a roundup with you, my love. I'm Resident Yes.
And I'm Lola and then some.
And it is so fun to have you get to do a question roundup with me.
I'm so excited. I've listened to the podcast for many years, and these were always my favorite.
Really?
Because there were a lot of topics that you like did rapid fire. I got a lot of really good ideas from them. And I also just love to hear your personalities more. So. Mm.
Well, hopefully people will get a sense for your personality even more during this. Cool. Although you were just recently on a podcast. So I suppose not mine. So I suppose if somebody wanted to get a really good feel for your personality, yeah, they could listen to that as well. What podcast was that?
So I was just on Nikki's podcast. It's called Cautious Little Heart. Mm. And Nikki really focuses on like origin stories. So that was really fun.
Well, I suspect we're going to talk more about podcasts a little bit later in the program, but you and Nikki both were awesome.
Foreshadowing. Yeah, thank you.
I loved it. I loved it. So that's Cautious Little Heart. We're going to talk about those and some other podcasts in a bit. But for those of you who have been wondering where the heck we were, we did a whole slew of episodes in November, December, all back to back to back to back. And then we kind of, well, more starting in December. And then we had a bunch of them right in a row leading up to CAP and right after CAP. Mm-hmm. So then I took a month off.
Yeah.
Because it was a whole bunch of episodes. Mm-hmm. Now we're back. And really excited to do our spring 2024 question roundup.
And we have lots of ideas for episodes coming up.
Oh my gosh, do we. We have folks who presented at CAP that I have just been waiting to bring on.
Totally.
But I knew I needed a break. You know, I knew I needed to focus on other things for a month. But boy, do we have a lot of stuff in the hopper.
It's exciting.
I'm really excited. So let's dive in. So the way a question roundup works, if you've not heard one before, is that we kind of collect questions throughout the year and throughout the month, all the time. I get them on Tumblr. That's resonantyes@tumblr.com. I get them on Instagram, also Resonant Yes. I get them on FetLife a lot, also Resonant Yes. And even on my email, which is not Resonant Yes, loveandbrief@gmail.com. And I collect them and just sort of put them in this giant spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. And then once a quarter, I like to sit down and do a question roundup where we can sit and talk through a number of them in a row. Yeah. And I'm so pleased to bring my partner Lola on to tackle these with me because you are a fount of wisdom. And I want people to get to benefit from that wisdom.
Well, thanks, love.
Well, you bet. So you ready? Can I throw the first one out to you?
Yes.
Great.
Let's do it.
Hopefully this will encourage other people to send us questions as well.
Totally, please. And also sometimes those questions become episodes because they're so amazing.
Oh, yeah. So. I was reading through our FetLife box and found two brand new that need to be whole episodes. Usually these that we tackle on the roundup are like, hey, they're good for a 5-minute answer, but it would be a tough 50-minute answer, you know. So that's why we put them in the roundup.
Cool. Let's do it.
You ready? Yep. I'm going to throw you the first one. Man on the Run on Tumblr says, hey, I've been into wearing diapers for as long as I can remember. And before we started really dating, I told my girlfriend, now my wife, about my fetish and the reasons I enjoy diapers. She's very accepting of it. She's even worn diapers herself, but only when we're being intimate. It's not really her thing. She wants to love wearing diapers like I do, but she can't seem to disconnect the association between diapers and children, or diapers and elderly or disabled people. So basically, she doesn't see diapers as being a sexy thing like I do. And for me, that's not what I associate them with. I use them for sexual purposes. So I guess my question would be, how do I help her make the disconnect and start enjoying wearing diapers herself? So make the leap over that disconnect and start enjoying. And I thought this was just such an appropriate question for you as somebody who was not factory installed with this kink, but came with an aftermarket upgrade for this kink. This is probably the question we get most, honestly, in one form, or how do I tell my significant other? But talk to me a little bit about that process for you of how you went from this isn't my thing at all to I'm really enjoying this.
Yeah, that's a good question. And it sounds like this couple, it sounds like she is willing and wants to do this. So that's first and foremost important. So I once was in the exact same shoes. My ex told me before we got married, and then I don't think I ever had the connection of like diapers and kids, but I absolutely can connect with the fact that it was not sexy. And I think that, I think there's a couple of things you can do. First of all, just really reassuring her and like reminding her every time she wears, like that was really important. Even though you had told me it maybe that might, you know, you had told her maybe yesterday or last week when you played, every time, especially right now, I think, I think it's helpful to tell her, wow, you look amazing. And even maybe reassure, like, you might not feel that way, but like, this is how you're making me feel right now. Mm. So if she can connect into your feelings about that, she may be able to like understand more.
Yeah.
Another thing that might help too is, I think for me, when I first started wearing, I had made a Tumblr account and I went on and I just sort of like tried to consume as much diaper porn as possible. And I saw all of these women wearing diapers, and they were cute and they were sexy and they were confident. Mm. And I think confidence really is linked to being sexy for me. Yeah. And so to see others and also see like even how they like styled their diapers or like what outfits they wore. Like I was very, and I still am, I'm very much about the outfits.
Mm.
So I think that's what really helped get me there.
It's not just the dip, it's the whole outfit.
Exactly.
The whole presentation.
Exactly. And now I do genuinely feel sexy in a diaper.
Yeah.
Like if I see my butt without a diaper, I'm like, oh, that doesn't look quite right. Mm. I still think I'm sexy, but like I do equate sex and sexiness with diapers now.
Yeah.
So I would reassure her, and then I would also just like allow her to go out and find what she might think is sexy about them.
Yeah.
And in terms of like making that disconnect from those things, like I just wouldn't talk about it at all. Like the more you guys talk about, like, I understand she might feel like, oh, but like, but kids and whatever, like just get that vocabulary out of there. I think.
Oh, stop talking about that association.
I think so. Okay. Yeah. That would be helpful for me.
To just quit associating the two.
Correct. Yeah. So that it's not just like in my mind all the time. Mm. But now what's rather like replace it with like, oh, did you see what, you know, Sunny was wearing the other day or whatever? Mm-hmm. And try to now associate it with like some things that she may find sexy.
Yeah. That's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good. And, you know, there's a lot of science now in the field of attraction and sexuality that there didn't used to be. And the science largely that I've been reading in some of the pop science books suggests that attraction to specific features is more social than it is biological. Mm. Not that it doesn't have a biological connection, but it's similar to the way we learn to love foods. So if you were born in Greece, you might have a palate that is very different than if you were born in Japan. Mm-hmm. And somebody in Greece might see Japanese fish for breakfast as being maybe strange, or seaweed as being strange, but you might love having, you know, an olive tapenade that would seem very strange in Japan. That's a social construct. It's because of what you grew up eating and what you were around and what your family gave you. And it becomes very subliminal. It becomes inherent. You can't change it overnight. And some of the science suggests that attraction works the same way, sexual attraction, to specific features. So you might grow up in a boob community or a butt community or a biceps community where that's really reinforced for you, or that's what you're around a lot when you're in a sexual maturation phase. Or then you look at something like diapers, and we've talked about this a lot before, but they tend to... most people tend to say, hey, I've kind of been into them the whole time, suggesting there was some link created when they were very, very young, right? Yeah. And we've talked about why. We don't dig into that here, but that's the same way. It's just the taste that you've developed that is now so subliminal and so sort of all the way through you. Given all that, hopefully that's a little bit of encouragement that when you hear from Lola, hey, I actually equate them with sexiness now. That is possible. Again, it's mostly an exposure and social construct mm-hmm. that becomes part of your taste. Is your wife going to have the same connection you do? Well, no, you probably have a lifetime of it, right? Mm-hmm. But she can have a connection. And so I think some of the advice, Lola, that you gave points to how to build that connection. Make it sexy, make it safe, mm-hmm. make it rewarding.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Show other examples that feel sexier, even exactly. when she doesn't.
Exactly. I think too, like, I think lingerie and diapers is really sexy. So maybe yeah. try to pair it with something. Like for me, I think when I first started wearing diapers, I went very baby. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that doesn't do it for me. Mm-hmm. And I just never really made a connection there. Like, I'm not an age player. I don't see myself as a little. I think it's adorable. I think the aesthetic is awesome. Mm-hmm. And I have many friends that are littles and I love them to death. But that wasn't it for me.
Yeah.
So I had to kind of find what was it for me as well. And doing things like doing lingerie with diapers or bondage with diapers, I found that, like, more inherently sexy yeah. from the get-go. Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's something you already find sexy right. paired with
exactly
this thing you want to find sexy,
yes.
but don't.
And then I had to be told a lot.
Yeah. How sexy you
are. Reassured a lot.
That makes total sense yeah. to me. I just empathically, like if you put me in, you say, hey, RY, I am really into jelly shoes.
I want jelly shoes.
I really want to see you in jelly shoes. That would really do it for me. Like, I have absolutely no connection to jelly shoes. Mm-hmm. I would have to be told a lot, this is mm-hmm. doing it for me, and have yeah. it demonstrated for me. This is doing it for me.
Yeah. And not in a pushy way and not, you know, but just in a way that allows her to feel what you're feeling, mm-hmm. like in a safe way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two caveats I might offer. One is, as Lola pointed out, this question asker has noted, hey, my wife wants to be more connected. That's essential.
Yeah.
If your partner doesn't want to, there's yeah. no point in trying to force that.
Yeah.
That has to be something that they're interested in.
Yeah.
The other caveat is, you know, I think your advice about, like, let's not continue to harp on the children or elderly or whatever other mm-hmm. needs that a person might have for a diaper. I will caveat that with assuming that you've had that moment where you've acknowledged, hey, that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
Of course. I think that's inherent in your response, but
yeah.
Just to call it out, just to make it explicit, assuming you've had that empathic moment of, yeah, of mm-hmm. course. Of course you does. Feel that way.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing anybody has ever right. associated with
right.
it. That
adults
makes,
in diapers.
Yes, of course. That yeah. makes total sense to me.
Yeah.
And let's start changing the narrative together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Len, I think that's really important. You said, like, together. Mm-hmm. And having that communication around it. And maybe also I would suggest, you know, the asker, like, maybe there's something that your wife has always wanted to try.
Yeah.
Like, do that as well for her, right? Like, yeah. make this a dance, make it a tango, not just like diapers, diapers, diapers.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love that. Wow. Well, your first roundup question, and you just knocked it out of the park, Lola.
Thank you.
Do you want to throw one my way?
I would love to. This is from, I don't know how to pronounce this, Anonymous?
Anonymous.
Perfect. So this is from an anonymous person on Tumblr. And the question is, I found a way to dox people in the community. It is something that only a small handful of people would even be susceptible to, and it is something that an even smaller number of people would be able to execute. I am confident based on who I was able to get personal information on that this is not something anyone has figured out before. If they had, more people I found would have been doxed. Here is my conundrum. Should I tell people so that they can adjust their profiles and hide this information? Is saying, hey, I figured out who you are using X, Y, and Z in your page. You should remove them. Something a content creator would appreciate or find insanely creepy. I understand the power dynamics at play. I'm a strange man calling from possibly thousands of miles away to tell you that I know who you are. But I also feel like the chance to not have your life destroyed is worth dealing with being creeped out. Hmm. Especially if I can lead off with something like, I don't care about doxing you. I just want to share how I got here so you can protect yourself and I will never contact you again. Hmm. What do you think?
These are some deep waters we're playing.
Yeah. can be a touchy subject.
I think we both have experience in this area, so I can speak to mine and I would love to hear yours. Short answer would be, yes, I think reaching out is a great idea with that tone.
Right.
So I have both had the experience of being the recipient of doxing efforts, and I have had the experience that you're describing of somebody warning me that I could be based on what's on my page. And I wish that I had gotten the second thing before the first thing, because maybe it wouldn't have happened, right? I think contacting somebody and saying, I realize how this sounds, but I am really good with internet security and I really value content creators. And I just want to know that, let you know you're vulnerable here. I will never, ever use this information. I won't follow up. I just want you to know this is how you could change it. So for me, it was a geotag issue. I had.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to ask if you felt comfortable sharing so people out there now also can make sure they're being safe, right?
Yeah. And I went back and deleted everything, right? But a long time ago, I had geotags that I didn't realize were in the metadata of my photos. Yeah. And they were going out on a platform that's no longer active. And people could literally find my house if they knew where to look in the metadata. And somebody wrote to me, if you're still listening, I am forever grateful for your influence. Thank you. And said, hey, I know how creepy this sounds, but I want you to know that I could easily find where you live and I don't want to know that information. And I don't want anyone else to know that information. And I am still grateful for that person. And they followed through on their promise not to do anything with it. And they followed through on their promise not to contact me again. I wrote back and said, you are a hero. Thank you. And I super appreciate you. And after that, nothing occurred with it. So I'm super grateful and I hope you do the same.
Cool.
How about you?
Yeah. I had this somewhat recently. When I first made my Amazon wish list and I posted about it, like within an hour, someone that I had met actually at CAP, but I don't know very well, but I think that probably helped, was like, hey, your first name's on it, even though I didn't think it was. And I had to, like, it's kind of hard actually in Amazon to go like make sure there's the right settings. So, and I was like, oh my gosh. But he reached out on Tumblr, like messaged me, which he knew, like we had messaged there before. So that I think was helpful for me to trust him. But he was like, just so you know, like, hey, your first name's out there. And I don't want to sound creepy, but like, I would go change that. And I hope this, you know, doesn't upset you, but I just wanted to let you know. And I was like, thank you so much. I think it does absolutely, the way you approach it also can be really helpful. Like this person was saying, I think even just using the words, like, I don't want to be creepy. Sometimes that creeps me out more, honestly. Right. So maybe just approaching it very matter of fact, like, I saw this, this can happen. And blah, you know, just being very matter of fact and also like nice about it, but like not going into like, I didn't want you to be blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Because that then it becomes like personal and sort of creepy that way. That would be my suggestion.
Very matter of fact about it.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about this caveat that like, I will immediately delete this information and I won't follow up with you, just wanted you to know?
Yeah. I think that's a very, you know, that's a good, good caveat. And to this person, like, he's never used my first name. He's never, like, you know, and even though he saw it once.
Yeah.
I
admire that person. I really do. I really do.
I appreciated it because even though it may, and there was absolutely a moment of like, oh no, I really screwed up here. And I felt really uncomfortable about that. But like, safety does have to take paramount over like your feelings of like, oh no, I screwed up and now this person knows that whatever. I think safety has to, you know, take precedence. And I think that if you have information that you think should be shared to keep people safe, you should share that information with them.
Agreed. And thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for looking out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You ready for one?
Yes.
This one also may hit home a little bit. It's almost like I picked it for that purpose. question comes from an anonymous asker on Tumblr. If you were me, male, how would you go about telling your extremely vanilla partner, female, I like the term extremely vanilla, that's a fun thought, that you are into women wearing and using diapers? I had a pretty kinky ex who I once told, and we tried it a few times, and now that we're separated, she's telling people.
Oh, no.
So I'm not sure I want to tell anyone else. So I hear two questions in this. Mm-hmm. One is, how would you go about telling somebody, assuming you wanted them to know? Mm-hmm. And the other is, do I really want to tell anybody? Mm-hmm. Right? Because mm-hmm. I had a bad experience with that. So tackle them in whatever fashion you like, but I wanted to put this in front of you, who at one point was the recipient of this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was the vanilla partner, although I think I've always been kind of kinky, but...
Vanilla with sprinkles.
Yeah, and I... Yeah. So, that's so difficult. I think, my first piece of advice is when telling your extremely vanilla partner...
It almost feels paradoxical. It does. I just love it.
When telling, it's like you want to approach the subject with confidence... in like a calm, loving, almost just like excited about it manner. If you come to them saying, oh my gosh, I have this thing and it's really weird and I know that you're probably going to hate me now and it's super creepy and, but I need to tell you about it. They're going to think that it is super creepy and then that's the way that they should feel about it. Mm-hmm. But if you approach them with, I have something I really want to tell you, I am going to be vulnerable here, and so I just ask that you listen. And it's this part of me that I love, that I'm really excited about, and something that I want to share with you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you approach it in that way, they then all of a sudden are like, oh, wow, this is something that could be awesome. It sounds really fun. And it sounds like it's something that is important to them, but also like they're confident and okay with themselves. So maybe I don't have to go in. I think with my ex, when they told me, it wasn't super shame-filled, I guess, in the telling, but everything around it from that conversation was extremely shame-filled.
Mm.
And so it made me uncomfortable and I did not know how to approach it with them, although I wanted to help them. Through that shame.
Of course.
So if you approach it in a way where, and I also think it could be helpful, like here's how this might fit into our relationship. Because I think the way they told me, like they just assumed I would want nothing to do with it and then didn't let me in for 12 years when I actually really wanted to be, take part
wow.
in it.
Wow. That's a long time.
It is a long time.
That's a long time.
So I would come with maybe like, if you want to take part in it, this is maybe something, a way you could do that. And if you don't want to take part in it, it's something I at least want you to know about me and be, so I'm able to like be myself because, yeah. You know, what's the point of relationships if you really can't be yourself and be vulnerable with the other person?
So it's not the pressure of, I need you to become this. It's,
oh, gosh, yeah.
I need you to see that this is part of me.
Exactly.
Whether or not you want to be a part of that is okay.
But yes.
I need you to see this is a part of me.
Correct.
Yeah.
And come in it, come to it with like confidence and joy. Mm-hmm. Because then they're going to feel that and hopefully also take, I mean, there may be shock and, you know, maybe not understanding or confusion at first, but if they see you being confident and joyful about it, then that's going to make them get there a lot easier.
I completely agree. I mean, we've talked about this. I feel like we've covered this question and we will continue to cover it because yeah. It's one of the most asked and frankly, most sort of crucial in your relationship and love development mm-hmm. questions, which mm-hmm. is how do I talk to somebody about this? And I think your advice is spot on my experience as well.
Yeah.
And you can go back. You can go back to almost any question roundup we've done. Episode 111, episode 67 and 68, some of the very early episodes, like sub 15, we mm-hmm. talk about this, but almost every question roundup.
Mm-hmm.
Showing up with, I'm not ashamed of this.
Yeah.
But also, I don't need you to do anything about it.
But if you want to take part, mm-hmm. here's maybe how you could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense to me.
Yeah. I felt like my ex was coming to me like to solve a problem, but then didn't allow me to actually be a part of it. And I don't think that was their intention, but the way they approached it, that's how I felt. Mm-hmm. And so I was in this very drifting out in space place about it for a very long time.
Yeah. If somebody comes and they're like, hey, there's this awful tumor growing on me that I hate. Mm-hmm. I just want you to stare at it with me for a while. That's not something you probably want to get excited about. Or yeah. if they're like, here's this awful tumor growing on me. I need you to fix it.
Right.
You're like, I'm not equipped for that.
Right.
But if they come to you and say, hey, I've got this part of me that I really treasure. And by the way, is going to be there forever.
Yeah.
I just want you to know it's there. And if you, yeah. If you want to engage in it, here's mm-hmm. some ways we could maybe think about yeah. doing that.
And also just some resources, like obviously this podcast and others out there as well. Mm-hmm. And also, I do just want to do a shout out. There is a plus one support group out there now, yeah. That was talked about on this podcast as well. Yeah. So what that means would be a partner or friend or someone in your life that you have a relationship with, that this is not their kink. They have a space to go to talk about it and have their own support. Yeah. So I would also come with like that love and joy and compassion and openness. And here are some resources.
Yeah.
I didn't have any of those when I was told about this. So yeah.
I would also recommend Dr. Rhoda Lipscomb's book, You're Not Broken.
Yeah.
It does give really practical advice and speaks directly to that partner who just found out.
Maybe read it together.
Yeah. So sit up in bed at night and read it to each other. I think it's a fantastic resource.
And I do want to address the other part of the question. Mm-hmm. Should I tell her? That sounds really hard. So I just want to say, I'm sorry that your ex-partner is telling people now.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
Nope.
And I'm really sorry about that.
Yep. That is a massive violation of trust.
Yeah. So I can understand why, ooh, this would be really scary because that trust was broken by somebody else in the past. I would say that if you really like this person and you see a future, whatever that might look like, I think it's important to find a way to talk to her about it. And I also want to put the caveat out there, like, if you feel like maybe you guys could communicate better, maybe that's something to work on first in a way that's like not so like if you're already having trouble communicating and like having trust with one another, like in like things that aren't quite so deep, vulnerable things, like maybe work up to that.
Yeah.
I don't know where you are in your relationship. Like it's hard to give that advice, right?
Yeah.
So
and in the end, like you will have to trust your gut a little bit based on your experience with this person. Your gut may have been shaped by this past experience, of course, of somebody.
Of course,
Telling out of school about you. But this person probably leaves you with a trusting feeling or a non-trusting feeling.
Yeah.
And it's worth paying attention to that.
Yeah.
And if they seem vindictive or they seem like they might, every time they're mad, go do something rash and then regret it later. I would hold back if it's me. Yeah. I would not feel that trust, even if I trust them in every other part of my life.
That's good advice.
Yeah.
My guess is that you maybe already feel that trust because you came to us with this question desire to want, it sounds to want to tell them.
Yeah.
So that's just my insight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good question.
Mm-hmm.
Can you throw me a softball? These are all really deep. Can you give me are bananas tasty or something?
Do diapers crinkle?
Oh my God, do they. Here, show us your crinkle. Let me hear it.
Show us?
Yeah, you know, audio show. There you go. Do diapers crinkle? Hell yeah, they do.
Okay, we're done. That's it.
That was it.
Okay, so this one came from the Love and Brief email by BD, and it says, I have listened to yours and the Usual Bets podcast from CapCon. Are there any other presenters that have podcasts? I've never heard of a legal seminar talked about and what to learn more about on CapCon, and I hope to attend in 2 years.
So any other folks that could give you insight into CapCon and many other things?
Yeah.
Short answer again. Yep.
Yay.
I love the renaissance that we are in terms of ABDL podcasting.
Totally.
And folks who have listened to Love and Brief for a while know that I have a deep passion and respect for people who just go out and make things for the community. And this may come as a shock to you. Podcasting, not a profitable venture. But
what?
I know.
I'm not getting paid.
Getting rich. but it is so worthwhile to feel like you're giving something back to a community that has given so much to you. Well, a lot of folks have chosen to do that, and they are doing an awesome job.
That's amazing.
Yep. We cannot have too many ABDL podcasts that are made with love and passion.
Totally.
So let me give you a short list here of other ABDL podcasts that you can listen to, some of which I know very well, some of which I've only listened to a couple of times. Frankly, I couldn't possibly listen to all of them every week.
Yeah.
That's how much great content is out there. Yeah. But so you've got, if you know the usual bet, we had them, we had a little crossover appearance on the Capcom
and
episode.
They also had their own Capcom podcast they did too.
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. That's Sophie, Chloe, and Kimmy that make the usual bet. That one's
and
really fun.
And other friends
fun.
Too.
Yeah, and they bring on, Jazzy comes in there sometimes.
Yeah, and other friends too.
And other friends. Mm-hmm. Really fun, really high energy, very sometimes silly, but always
rich. And they come in with a bet every time, correct?
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
It's the usual bet.
Yeah. That's very fun.
And you can bet diapers are involved.
Right.
And then their sort of sister podcast, Dear Jazzy, that Jazzy runs.
Yeah.
Is also, that one goes a little bit more, I think, into like the advice space.
Yes.
And a little deeper.
Yep.
Well, not deeper, but it goes a little bit more in depth on a single topic or set of topics. Also new to the scene, the Crinkle Club that Comfortably Crinkly and Miss Mummy do. There are only a handful of episodes in, but I am loving it.
I haven't heard this one yet. I need to go check it out immediately.
This one comes out of Europe, out of the UK. It is
a friend of yours.
And a friend, yep. Yeah. Comfortably Crinkly is a friend, and it is, for being brand new already, so rich and so interesting.
Do they pick like a topic each time?
Or? They'll pick a topic or they will interview somebody and sort of focus. So it's similar to what we do, but not necessarily the advice side. It's just sort of a deep consideration of something.
Cool.
And I have really thoroughly enjoyed that. And it's in very digestible length.
Nice.
It's just, I think they are both so wise and it's packed into these tight little easy listen podcasts. So that one is the Crinkle Club. Cautious Little Heart. You were just on that one, as we referenced earlier, that Nikki makes. How would you describe Cautious Little Heart?
So I believe Nikki wanted to have a space to have people on, and the conversations that Nikki was having, that people were going deep into like their origin stories and their life around diapers. And Nikki was like, we should be podcasting this. Mm-hmm. That's literally where the idea came from. So she has one guest on each time and starts with their origin. How are you here? Why are you in this community?
Yep.
And what was it that, you know, diapers, like what was the first experience you had? And then from that, there's always lots of different other kinky stuff and ideas and like just general thoughts about like being in this lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always get worried. So I'm a slightly snobby podcast listener in that it drives me nuts when podcasts are just consist of a person going, how was your week? Good. How was your week? Oh, here's a bunch of inside stuff.
No, Nikki's is not like
Nikki
that. She does a great job. Yeah. Oh gosh.
She is a brilliant interviewer.
Yeah.
You immediately are swimming in the deep end.
Yep.
It's fun. And it's so, you fall in love with each guest and with Nikki a little bit more.
Totally.
Every time.
Yeah.
And Nikki's been in the scene for a long time.
Yeah.
So Nikki has like awesome perspective.
Oh yeah,
on the people and community.
Yeah,
I'll throw out there as well. Newsy's Nook by Newsy Baby. So this is a good place for sort of up to date information in the ABDL community.
I love that we have that too. That's so cool.
Yep, and Newsy spelled N-E-W-S-I-E. Yeah. So Newsy's Nook. Also, Diaper Perv does a YouTube show that then becomes an ABDL podcast.
Yes.
And then of course I have to mention the Big Little Podcast.
Yeah.
So it's no longer being made. We had Mako on our CAP panel. Mm-hmm. If it weren't for Mako, this was the first ABDL podcast. Mm-hmm. If it weren't for Mako, there is no Love and Brief. My guess is there is no most of these podcasts. Mm-hmm. Mako and Spacey paved the way. Unfortunately, Spacey passed away. Mako discontinued the podcast, but they started something truly beautiful.
Yeah.
And Mako's in the middle of building an archive, a really rich archive that has like clickable links and here's all the stuff we talk about at biglittlepodcast.info.
Yes. So go check that out.
Yep.
So wise. I love how Mako and Spacey really brought like philosophy and like deep thinking into into this lifestyle and really tackled some really tricky, hard subjects.
Oh my gosh.
Like, yeah. So
oh my gosh.
I love that we have that all the way to like, here's what's up in the ABDL world. Like there's so, I love just the variety that we have now. Like how lucky are we?
Yeah. And I can listen to, you know, the Big Little Podcast or Crinkle Club and get some like profound something out of it. Mm-hmm. And in the same show, I can smile ear to ear. I can listen to The Usual Bet and just laugh out mm-hmm. loud in my car. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's just a whole wide world out there.
Yes.
Also, there are other discontinued podcasts that mm-hmm. are worth listening to. The Crinkle Cast was really fun. Lo did the Dream a Little podcast mm-hmm. with really practical advice.
That was probably the first one I listened to.
Was it?
Yeah. Either that one or this one.
Very common. I think that one stopped a couple of years ago. But it is worth going back and listening to archives. Because there's just so much wisdom out there. And I think most of it is pretty timeless.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You ready for another one? Last one for you.
Let's do it.
So Diaper Boy 1121 on FetLife sent this one in. I am a diaper lover and spanko, and I'm dating a vanilla girlfriend. And so far she's worked with me wearing diapers and occasionally wears them with me, which I love. And she didn't just run away when I told her I'm into diapers. She actually wears them. But for the spanko side of things, I'm a switch. I like to give and receive. But I've been giving a lot more than I've been receiving from her. And I can tell she's holding back or something. We had a small breakthrough the other day where she spanked me and I helped guide her through it. The main question though is, how do I get her to spank me without having to ask or guide her on how I like to be spanked? And I will say, I clarified with Diaper Boy 1121 on this when he said without having to guide her. And I said, do you mean ever? And they said, no, I absolutely will educate, communicate, here's what I like, but not every time. It would be nice not every time to have to say, do this. So that's the clarification on that question, because of course, nobody's a mind reader. So let me throw that your way. Do you feel weird being our token ex-Nilla on this one? I keep throwing you Nilla questions.
Gee, thanks.
Yeah, I know.
I'm trying to wrap my brain around this one, because like I also am quite new to spanking as well.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think the same could apply to diaper stuff. So, you know, you're in a relationship where you like to switch and you find yourself giving in a way that's probably fulfilling for both of you, but you want more proactive initiation on the, from your partner so you can receive as well.
Yeah. That's so hard, right? Mm-hmm. That's so hard. I think, first of all, it sounds like you guys, that you both have really good communication, you have talked a lot about. But if you haven't, I would say like someone being new to diapers or spanking, it's like, I literally don't know where to even begin thinking about this, let alone like now I have to produce this. That's a really scary thing.
Yeah.
So even something as simple as like literally tell me where you want my hand to be. And things like that, like walk me through that, I think could be really helpful. Now, I assume you guys have already gone through this and, you know, gotten to the point where you've discussed it, you've discussed consent, you've discussed, you know, boundaries and negotiated and all of that. How to get the other person to initiate, I think maybe the best way would be either, hey, let's set up a scene for tonight where maybe we're doing this other thing, and then maybe I'm going to do something that is a little bratty, or maybe I'm going to do something, whatever, name whatever it is. And so it doesn't have to happen right in the moment, but then that person knows to look for that this evening when you guys are playing or when you're interacting, or you're at dinner and you, you know, throw your peas on the ground or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I think having a sign, or at least saying like, I'm going to do something at dinner. And so then she doesn't have to guess. When I was in my marriage, my first relationship, we switched a little bit with diapers, just a very little bit. And I felt like I had to guess every single time.
Yeah.
And like, I'm almost like, I'm getting choked up thinking about it now, because I was in, it was so much pressure and I felt like I was letting down my partner. Mm-hmm. And in doing that, then I shut down too.
Because you were putting, you felt the pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
And then you feel like you're failing.
Correct.
And then you shut down.
Correct.
Meaning you're not going to do it now.
Right.
Yeah.
Even though I want to do it.
Right.
It's not my lack of, I wanted to.
Yeah.
But I was so scared because I felt so much pressure.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering if perhaps that's part of this as well. And I'm trying to think, like, what would have helped me? So if I had had a clear sign, like, mm-hmm. I want to be diapered tonight when I get home from work. So in the morning, I'm going to leave the diaper closet door open. And that's my sign to you that when I come home tonight, I would like to be in a diaper.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
If I'm hearing right, in your experience, the not doing it is not a sign that they don't want to do it. And it right. may not be interpreted as a sign that they might accurately interpret it as a sign that they don't want to do it.
Yeah.
They may need a little bit more clear guidance and confidence that this is the time.
Right. Yeah. I got pretty confident in like how to diaper and all of that and what they were actually looking for mm-hmm. about being in a diaper. But I never really had clear communication on like or guidance on like how to initiate that.
So
I felt like I had to read their mind.
Right.
And it was really frustrating.
And step one was the first thing, which is how do diaper I do with you? And you said literally like, show me what to do with my hands, like whatever it is, yep. like how do I do diaper? And then secondly, after you feel confident there, mm-hmm. how do I know when to do diaper?
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. And also like, what are you looking to get out of it? I think that would be in the first part too.
Yeah.
Like how can I facilitate that?
Yeah.
So we covered all of that, but then it was like, I understand because I get it. I'm a sub too. Like I understand. I don't want to have to tell you. You should just know. But you can't know.
That's not a thing.
That's not a thing. Except maybe if you've been together for a very, very, very long time.
Yeah.
You know, you already have picked up on subtle cues and you know things.
Yeah.
But you need to create those cues at the beginning.
Yeah. I know Mako and Spacey referred to this as kink semaphore. It was a signaling to yeah. one's partner. You know, totally. Semaphore like the flags that they use yep. on ships yep. to send messages. Kink semaphore is a way to signal to your partner without saying something explicitly. But that only works when you both know the semaphore.
Exactly.
You can't just go waving flags and hope they can translate, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's really good. Emily Nagoski in her book, Come As You Are, which I really love and recommend. She's a sex researcher. She uses this analogy of gas and brakes on sexual desire. Mm. And she said, you know, the gas is the thing that gets you going. It's the thing that revs your engine and makes you kind of lose yourself in the experience. And the brakes are the opposite. That's the thing you slam on that slow you down and take you out of it. And two of the major breaks that she calls out are self-confidence and pressure. And you just used both of those words in your description, confidence and pressure.
Yeah.
So if you have a lack of confidence that you are sexy or that you're doing something sexy or even you're doing it right, whatever right looks like, that's going to be a huge sexual breaks for you. Mm-hmm. And if you feel the pressure to deliver something, as you said, I don't know when I'm supposed to do this. Mm-hmm. I just know I'm supposed to create it for you.
Yeah.
That's going to be a huge breaks.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take much in the way of breaks to stop your momentum and to get you to just sit there and watch a movie instead.
And the longer it goes on, the harder it gets,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Well, the pressure builds and the confidence suffers every time.
Right.
Right? So it's a downward spiral. Right.
And I understand on the other side, like it's hard to ask for what you want.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
I'm trying to just think if from your perspective, like how, you know, being the one giving out spankings mm-hmm. in this relationship,
yeah.
like, how do you know?
Yeah. Well, so it's different with every person, right?
Yeah.
So R&T was very much a spanko. She was very open about that. She loved it. But I didn't know the spanko world at all. And so I went online and I saw these like floggers and these people in leather. And I was like, that must be what she wants.
Right.
So I'm like, here's my flogger. And she's like, nope, here's precisely what I want. Right.
Yeah.
Here's, I actually want you to do this other thing. And I want it to feel like this. And here's what I want to get out of it. And I was like, oh God, I would have done this other thing forever because that's what the internet does. And it turns out. How do spank? So having that initial conversation was so important. Mm. But then, you know, you want something different out of the experience.
Yeah.
You don't want to be disciplined.
Mm-mm.
Right. You just want to have the fun spanking every once in a while.
Yeah.
Just as a submissive thing.
Yeah.
Not because you did something wrong. So with one partner, you might be looking for that small, bratty, I'm intentionally being sort of impish and stepping out of line so that you'll spank me.
Right.
With a different partner, they're never going to do that because they don't want that vibe.
Right.
They just want to be told, I'm giving you a spanking because you're submissive, right?
Right.
So as the spanker, I wish I could say, oh yeah, you just come out of the gate like ready to go. You're just a lifetime expert, but that's horse shit in every application. I don't care what you're talking about. You have to learn from your partner and have that explicit conversation. And then the semaphore can become intentional. And later you might just pick up on subtle cues, but nobody comes out of the gate getting that right. Mm-mm. Don't believe the internet. It's not true. This is such a rich discussion. You got one more for me?
Yes. Yes, I do.
I think I've said rich like 90 times because this we have rich podcasts, rich discussions. I'm just thoroughly enjoying this. All right.
Me too.
What you got?
So a dude still diapered on Instagram was wondering if we could talk about choosing your ABGL name/screen name. I'm in iteration 3 and still haven't found something that clicks.
Well, this is fun to talk about how we got our screen names.
Okay.
A dude still diapered. Boy, do I hear you. I had to go through a couple myself.
Did you?
I'm not going to tell you what the first one was.
I want to know.
I'm never. My lips are sealed. Some of my friends from way, some of us OGs, they know.
If I pout really cutely.
Like... I'm going to turn my head from you.
Okay.
Because I can't handle the pout. Yeah. Dude still diapered. A of all, you've got a great screen name. But if it's not feeling right for you, that's what matters most.
Yeah.
I took a couple of swings at it, and what I learned was that my intention for what a screen name does changed. Oh. The first time, I was on FetLife for the first time in my life. I had not ever spoken to nor met another ABDL person. And so I thought my ABDL screen name should definitely say that I'm an ABDL. That should be the main thing it does.
That makes sense.
Because I'm just wandering out into a field of kinksters going, which
especially
one of you?
Especially on FET. Like,
yeah.
There's so much out there.
There's so many people.
Yeah.
So I'm like, which one of you is like me, right? Yeah. This will help cut through the crap. It turns out you don't need to do that anymore because we have so many ways to identify what you're into. I can search by fetish. I can search by sub-fetish. You don't have to do that anymore. And so instead, I turned a corner, I don't know, 8 months in or a year, and I thought, this screen name unnecessarily focuses on that. That's all over my profile. It takes 3 seconds to note that I'm an ABDL guy. I want my screen name to reflect why I'm here. And the reason I was there was because I had started what I called a year of yes, similar to like the movie Yes Man. I don't think that had come out yet, but I had hit a crucial point in my life, just gone through a divorce and said, I'm going to spend a year saying yes to all the things that seemed irresponsible or whatever, things that weren't worth spending my time on in the past because I was trying to build all this other, or just things that scared me for one reason or another. So my only rule for the year was say yes to every offer unless A, you literally can't afford it, B, it's illegal, or C, it's permanent. So for instance, a tattoo is neither illegal and it's relatively affordable, but it's permanent. So that was a no. Doing hard drugs is illegal. So that was a no. But when somebody would ask
buying
me,
buying a yacht is expensive.
Buying a yacht is expensive and would break me, and that's a no. but when somebody would say, hey, do you want to come to Missouri for the weekend?
You had to say yes.
Yeah, my rule was, unless it was like, this person's obviously a serial killer.
Of course. But
that didn't happen. So I started just saying yes to everything, and I did it with such a full heart, and I kept getting rewarded for it. It kept coming back to me in this way that made me feel more and more full. And so instead of being a hesitant yes, I wanted to be a resonant yes. And I have kept that screen name ever since because I continue to try and say yes to the things that scare me. And I continue to try and say yes to things I think will build community, even though they take time and effort. Plus, once you make a good screen name and you like it, it's hard to leave. So that's how I found mine. So my encouragement would be take a deep look at why and what you want, not just in the moment, but what do you want out of this online journey and see if you can find a name that fits. It may have the word diaper in it. It may not. May have ABDL, may not.
Thank you for sharing that. I never get sick of you sharing that story.
Really?
Yeah.
I was going to say, I thought you might be tuning it out. You've heard
no.
it a couple times.
No. I was like looking at you with such hard eyes because I think it's so beautiful. Yeah.
Well, let's hear yours.
Well, I've had a lot of iterations of screen names, mostly because I first got on Tumblr just to be like, what is kink? After my ex told me that they were into diapers. So, my first screen name was the Lovey Wifey because I was there to be a good wife and try to figure this stuff out
Yeah.
and be included. And that was part of, you know, my identity, I guess. Mm-hmm. Then most of my screen names have been, well, a lot of really my first interactions in the community were with my ex. Mm-hmm. So it was joined. So that's a little bit harder, yeah. Right? I do like our very first one was The Diapered and the Damned. I think
that's nice.
Yeah.
That's
my nice. Ex came up with that one.
Yeah, that's good.
I enjoy it. We both love literature. And yeah, it was perfect. I guess I was the damned one. I don't know. But then out of that one, people started giving us asks and asking specific questions of us. And we were like, well, we need to kind of, you know, differentiate who's speaking here. Mm-hmm. So we came up with monikers. And my ex went by Mr. and I went by Lola. Mm. And Lola really was derived from Lolita. I still kind of have this thing about being corrupted and being the one corrupting. Mm. But I thought Lolita was a little bit on the nose. So mm-hmm. I went with Lola. And Lola's kind of stuck around. Yeah. And Lola has been in every iteration of my screen name. When I, you know, blossomed into this new life I'm in, and then my, you know, newest iteration of Lola and then some, it was because, like, I was Lola in diapers, I was Lola loves, I was diapered Lola. Like, there were lots of different diapery Lola things. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to signal that, like, Lola's still here. Like, I'm still Lola in diapers, mm-hmm. but I am so ready and jumping in wide-eyed to everything kink. And honestly, life has to offer me. Yeah. So I'm still Lola, but I'm, and then some, because I have all of this other stuff to me as well. And I was also a little bit sick of being like the diaper girl.
Mm, you wanted to expand your boundaries a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think were always there. I was always doing that. But yeah. Like when you're called Lola in diapers.
Yeah.
Like everyone's like, oh, you're the diaper girl.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit sick of that, honestly.
For sure.
So I wanted to be more.
And now
and
you
I get
are.
To be more.
Yeah.
We can all be whomever we want. And so I think it's okay if your screen name grows with you as well.
Yeah. Yeah. The and then some has a zero instead of an O.
It does on Tumblr.
Just
only
on
because
Tumblr.
I got deleted.
So that was not like a deep conscious reflection
no.
on yourself.
So I'm Lola and then some on FET. And I was on Tumblr when I came back to this community and this life and by myself without my ex.
Yeah.
That was the screen name I chose. And then Tumblr sucks sometimes. So they deleted me, but I wanted to continue being Lola and then some. So if you're trying to find me on Tumblr, the O in some is actually a zero.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good That's, call.
There's out. No reason for it other than I wanted
it to. It wasn't some deep meaningful
no.
nihilism reflection or something. No, that makes sense. You'd make a terrible nihilist.
It was a gaping hole. I don't know. In my heart? I don't know.
I will say, the screen names, I love a good pun because I am a dad after all.
Yeah.
So like,
ones that make me laugh are always good.
Yeah, those yeah. are always General Eclectic, Towns Van Pants, Olive, the other reindeer. These are the ones yeah. that forever make me smile every time I see them.
Yeah.
So but there's something to be said for that
yeah.
too.
Yeah. Also, like, be a little different. That would be my...
Yeah.
Like, I see lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of screen names. I get lots of messages. And yeah. If there's one that's just different and it's not like, hey, I diaper person, but it's something just like has nothing to do with diapers, like, I love blueberry pancakes. I'm like, heck yeah, I remember that person.
I also love blueberry pancakes.
Yeah. And it stands out.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, we've covered a lot. 6 topics here in just these last 50 minutes.
Did we do it?
We done the thing, Lola.
We did it, RY.
I love that you are doing this with me. This makes me really happy.
I'm really excited that I got to do this.
Me too. Thanks yeah. for tackling 6 questions. Everybody who writes in, thank you for sending your questions. Again, you can do that on Tumblr at Resonant Yes. You can do that on Instagram with the same name. You can do that on FetLife with the same name. You can do it on email, but not the same name, loveandbrief@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And we have so many fun shows coming up and so many guests. And fortunately, I'm getting some production help from Teddy Bear and from you and from others. So hopefully we'll be able to get those out in a regular cadence. But in the meantime, any final words here, Lola?
Diapers.
This has been another episode of Love in Brief.